理课堂听 class.com
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Advanced Class, your window on the world, is going to talk about diving in the South Pacific this week. We're glad to have all of you in our class in this August month as we're talking about diving. And when I read an article like this, I want to just put on my scuba suit and get out there and dive with them. I love scuba diving. Have any of you ever been diving, those of you who have come today? What about you, Phil?
I've been once, and actually it was here in the South Pacific in French Polynesia.
Well, I'm so glad that Phil could be in the class today then. I doubt whether Ethan's had a chance to go diving yet. Have you, Ethan?
Well, I have not, and it's something that in some ways I regret that I have never had the chance. But at the same time, I think I've enjoyed the stuff I've done with the snorkeling just around the different places in Asia and the tropics here, and I've really enjoyed that. So I think I would enjoy it, but it's something that I don't have to do because I can enjoy what I have done.
Right. Well, once you've been snorkeling, it is fun and you enjoy it, but you feel like it's kind of on top of everything. And once you go diving, you just go down a little bit and you're right there with the fish, swimming with them, and they come up and look at your mask. And it's kind of like being with them instead of looking down at them. I know you'd enjoy it, Ethan. What about you, Bill?
Well, I have been snorkeling many times in the Caribbean and off of Mexico. And you mentioned something, Doris, that I wished I could do while I was snorkeling. That was to dive down. I've actually tried diving down with a snorkeling mask and a tube. There's a certain way you can do it, but I was never able to master it. Once I got down about 10 feet, it all filled up with water, and I had to go back up top.
And then you can only hold your breath so long, you know. And the thing about scuba diving, it gives you that freedom. You just feel like you're floating, really. And it's a very easy thing to do. It's not much effort. Once you get down there, you can go up and down and all around. And it's just very nice to be in the water with the fish. So I hope you'll all try it sometime.
Well, I understand from our article that by swimming with the fish, it's a whole different experience. For instance, brushing up against like a manta ray or maybe turtles or things like that. So you actually get a real feel for the wildlife and the nature.
Well, you really do. In fact, you always kind of want to tell the fish, don't catch get caught in those fishing nets. Keep away from them. You don't want them to get caught because you feel like, you know, they're so beautiful down there.
It really is beautiful down there. It's like a whole different world, and having the air tank scuba diving really does give you a lot more freedom to go down further.
So once you try it, I'm sure you'll want to do it more often. But we're going to talk about diving in the South Pacific. Now, you can dive in Singapore, Malaysia. There's so many places to dive out here. But the South Pacific has a very special thing about it. They have beautiful blue water, don't they?
That's right. It's very blue, aqua, green water, very clear. And a lot of these islands are what we call atolls. They were formed from old volcanoes, and they have a ring that goes around. And on the inside of that ring, the water's very calm. We would call that section a lagoon, and it's a very nice place to go scuba diving.
So open up your magazine now if you have one. I hope you all do, to page 18. Now, this is called extreme sports, so we'll find out what's extreme about this. Because scuba diving is a sport, I'm not sure you would call it an extreme sport, though, would you?
Maybe it's a reference, Doris, to it being a unique experience. Maybe this is a very unique sport.
I think, too, we'll talk about a little later something called pass diving, which is a special type of diving that you can do where you ride these underwater ocean currents that are very quick. And I think maybe we could call that an extreme sport. So in some ways, I think that's where we could get the term from.
Okay, well, let's find out what this article is about. It's written by Yvette Cardoza, who does a lot of traveling all over the world, and we often use her articles for travel articles. But it says here as a caption under this beautiful picture of some of these kind of rattan huts that looks like they're in Southeast Asia or South Pacific. What does it say there, Ethan?
It says, for many people, the South Pacific evokes images of coconut palms, fragrant flowers, exotic fruit, and, above all, romance. To a scuba diver, it means much more.
Now, every time you talk about the South Pacific, especially to Americans, they think about these glamorous places. In fact, I think Phil has a very romantic feeling about that for some reason. What is that, Phil?
Well, I have a very romantic feeling about it because that's where I and my wife took our honeymoon. We were there for 12 days on our honeymoon right after we got married.
And, you know, a lot of people go down there to that place called Bora Bora. They go there for their honeymoon. Is that where you went?
That's right. We were there, and we also visited Moorea, which is one of the islands that's mentioned in the article, as well as Tahiti.
There's features I see often, Doris, in travel magazines and also on the internet. I just saw one last week about Bora Bora and these, like, thatch hut resorts that you actually are right over the water, and it's a grass roof, and you sleep right there over the water. That sounds like it would be beautiful.
In fact, you can see a picture of those on page 18 in the little circle there, the top left-hand corner. Those are called overwater bungalows.
Hmm.
And they also have those in Sabah, in Malaysia, Borneo, those areas. They have the same thing. And you go out and you sleep on those and you're just right above the water. It's just really fun. You can see the fish in the water. It's really fun.
Well, I do think that it would be a very interesting place, a lot of things that you could do, a very laid-back culture by the sound of it.
So when you say that area, it evokes images. To evoke something, it has a special meaning. Evoke is a feeling.
Evoke means to make someone remember, Doris, remember something or feel an emotion, and usually it's a positive feeling. We say they might be nostalgic or sentimental about something in their past that was really good.
So it brings forth or brings out some kind of feeling. Whenever I think of coconut palms, I think of places like the Philippines and these Maldive Arctic Islands, and we think of all these places, it evokes that, oh, beautiful palm trees, white sand, coconuts. Mm. Do you think of that?
Oh, sure. When I think of the South Pacific and when we discuss this article, I'm just thinking about how it was such a wonderful, relaxing time, the clear blue water, the nice warm temperatures. It was just very relaxing and refreshing.
I think, too, we'll find out, as the last sentence of that deck says, is that to the scuba diver, it means much more. And Phil mentioned that there's clear blue water, and I think that's one of the big things. People go there because the colors are just so vibrant, the blue and the green of the ocean water, and the fish are also very beautiful.
Well, in fact, if you look at the picture right underneath that caption, much more, I see a great big shark. That's much more right there, isn't it?
That would be a little bit interesting there, Doris, to be swimming along with that shark right next to you.
Right. Well, maybe the shark's kind of sleepy. You know, the sharks have places in the ocean where they rest, too. I've been to some of those. Let's read the article and find out what it's like, especially if you like diving.
For the diving devotee, French Polynesia in the South Pacific is a noteworthy dive spot for one key reason. Few other locations offer the chance to do pass diving while surrounded by sharks. Pass diving, also called pass flying, is done in atolls, the rims of extinct volcanoes that protrude out of the water like the edge of a bowl. Cracks in the rim form the passes. When tides force water in or out of the bowl, a fierce current, up to 7 knots, flows through the cracks. The force of this surging water is enough to rip your face mask off. We were in French Polynesia's Tuamotu Archipelago, an hour by air northeast of Tahiti, at the king of all pass dives, Apataki Atoll. The channel here is narrow and V-shaped. We drop down into the water from the Tahiti Aggressor dive skiff. The current grabbed us immediately, and we were off.
Well, if you're not a diving devotee or someone who is devoted or just loves diving, maybe you'll be before we finish this article. That's possible.
Yes, that is possible, and it's very possible that it will make me want to go back here and do this again.
Well, and it's a good time now. It's August. It's vacation time for a lot of people, although a lot of people like to go there in the winter, especially people in America. When it's cold in the winter, they say, oh, let's go to the South Pacific.
Right. A lot of times that'll be maybe for Christmas or New Year's in December and January. And I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Doris, and it's ice and snow. I would gladly get on a plane for Tahiti then.
And you know, you find a lot of Germans, they love to go to those places. It's so cold over there in Germany and Finland and Norway, and you'll find them in the South Pacific and in the Philippines and in Malaysia, wherever you go, because they have very cold countries.
Right, and it's really quite surprising. I've also learned about the northern Europeans, the Swedish and the Norwegians, as you mentioned, not only in Tahiti, but all throughout Malaysia and Thailand. It's so popular with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at, we're talking about different types of people, and I always have pictured people going to Tahiti and French Polynesia just to go and lie on the beach and bask in the sun. And I had never thought that this would be a place that diving devotees would love.
Well, if you want to talk about extreme sports, the idea of pass diving, I've never tried that, especially surrounded by sharks. Doesn't that sound a little bit extreme?
Well, from what I understand, Doris, is that when you do this scuba diving and pass diving, you actually have to give up some control and you have to kind of go with the flow and also be comfortable being surrounded by sharks.
Well, how does that actually work there?
Well, what it sounds like is they go to these places that are called atolls, and this is a volcano that is sticking up out of the water, and then there's these cracks in the rock, and the water rushes through those because of the tide, and you can get in one of these places where there's a bigger crack, and you can actually ride that current with the tidal flow.
I don't know why people really want to do that, because it's nice to ride it just to get outside of the crack of the rock. But when you get out in the ocean, and if you get in a fierce current, you can end up a couple miles away down the shore, and then how are you going to get back to the shore again, or the boat that brought you out there? It's kind of dangerous to fool around with currents, I think.
It is kind of dangerous. These are very strong currents, and if you get out of control, it may, as you said, carry you very far out there, and you may have a hard time getting back. And some people may run out of air and drown. So I think that's why they call it extreme sport, because it can be dangerous.
Right. Well, that pushes you, and in fact, it's going so fast it can rip your face mask off, and you need your face mask on, and you need to keep breathing from your scuba thing, so it's a bit dangerous.
Well, yes, we see here that there is a measurement term, and that's knots, the word knots, and whenever we're talking about a speed in the water, we use the term knots instead of kilometers per hour or miles per hour.
Well, I think you make a good point, Doris, about the speed of the water and the power of it, in that you need to be careful. A lot of people don't realize that we think, oh, well, I can manage this. But what happens is even experienced divers and snorkelers find themselves in a situation where they're just overpowered by the water. So you really can't be careless.
And you have to have a healthy respect for nature. You have to realize how powerful and strong nature can be.
So this tells us here then, the part that we read on page 18 at the last couple of paragraphs, exactly where they were. And there are some maps here if you look at the next couple of pages. And you can see this whole group of islands. And what do we call a whole group of islands?
Archipelago.
Okay, archipelago may be a new word for some of you. And this is only an hour by air northeast of Tahiti. So an hour is still quite far away.
Yeah, it's still quite far away. You can see on the map, it's probably at least 100 miles to the northeast there.
And we see in our map, Doris, that there is a group of five of these archipelagos. And I was reading about this. The size of this is actually incredible how far it spreads. The land that it spreads over as far as the ocean spans what would be the size of Europe. So we're talking a very big distance covering here.
Right. We're not talking about just a little tiny area. So they said they tried this here, and the channel is kind of a V-shaped thing. And it says we dropped down on line 24 into the water. So from this Tahiti Aggressor dive skiff, a dive skiff is just kind of the flat kind of a boat that you, or a little boat that you go out in so you can get off to dive. But you remember, if you get carried too far away in the current, you can't find the boat. And that's kind of a long ways to, you know, where to go. Where's the boat? And you're out in the ocean. That's no fun, is it?
Well, there actually was a movie last year, Doris, about exactly that, about a group of divers that did go out. It was a true story. And a couple was left out in the ocean.
Right. So I don't know if you really want to try this. It's fun to read about it. But the current grabbed us up immediately, and we were off. So Yvette and her husband, Bill, I think, were trying that with other people. Her husband's name is Bill. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. And they live in Seattle, and they go all around the world, Bill. You have to meet them sometime, right?
Well, we do read a number of articles by Yvette, right. So she certainly gets around.
Yvette and Bill go all over. Well, let's hear more about the sharks. That should be interesting. Let's read the next part of our lesson.
Sharks. We cruised low over the coral heads to a point down the pass where aggressor Captain Randy Wright crammed fish heads into a hole. We attached ourselves to a rock with a reef hook to watch a pack of gray reef sharks tumbling head over tail in their effort to get the fish. Then they straightened out and flowed up the pass looking like a river of sharks. Suddenly, they were gone. Tethered to the rock, we held out our arms and drifted with the flow. Mostly it was a steady blast in the face, but every so often the current would gust and we would flutter on the ends of our lines like leaves in the wind. Later, at Rangiroa Atoll, part of the Tuamotu Archipelago, the sharks knew we were coming. The minute Randy got there with a tuna head, he was surrounded. A dozen gray reef sharks circled, getting closer with every turn until they were within touching distance.
Well, the word shark means different things to different people. I know for a lot of Chinese people it means shark's fin soup, right? To other people it means danger. But, you know, without the sharks, we would have a very dirty ocean because they are the garbage collectors of the ocean. And they collect all the dead fish and everything and eat them. We can be glad there's sharks out there cleaning up the ocean for us. We better leave a few of them there.
Well, they fill a role in the cycle of things, Doris, in the ocean. And unfortunately, 25 years ago or so, the movie Jaws portrayed sharks as just these killing machines. And really, they aren't. And they're just fitting their role in the cycle of sea life and things like that. So
there's new little cartoon ones about sharks. Now, maybe that'll make it a little bit better, I hope. But anyway, Ethan, there's some very good words here. Would you like to pick out some of the words we'd like to talk about today?
Well, our first sentence starts out really well, and it says, we cruised low over the coral heads to a point down the pass where aggressor Captain Randy Wright crammed fish heads into a hole. And I really like the term cruised here because you get the idea that they're moving along at a constant speed, probably very comfortable, and they're just enjoying moving along with the different fish.
But how do you like what he was doing, though, Phil? Isn't that a strange thing to do?
Well, yes, and the word crammed, he stuffed or he packed those fish heads very tightly into that hole. Very interesting.
And of course, why was he doing that?
Well, he was doing that because he wanted to attract the sharks. They were attracted by the food here.
And see, people want to see the sharks, and that's why they do that. And sometimes we kind of play around with nature. People do that with bears, try to get them to come up and eat out of their hand or feed the sharks. You know, we should respect nature and just look at it, but not try to fool around with it.
Well, speaking of respecting nature, Doris, one of our terms is coral head, which is a growing colony of live tiny coral animals. And a lot of people don't realize when they do go snorkeling or scuba diving that even touching coral can kill it. So we have to be very careful when we are around coral not to even touch it. So,
right. When you take scuba lessons, that's the first thing they tell you is to don't touch anything because you can kill it by touching it. Just look at it. Don't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they attached themselves, Yvette and Bill and whoever was with them, to the rock with what they called a reef hook so that they wouldn't be pulled away too soon. And they watched while this great big pack of gray reef sharks came tumbling head over tail, just fast as they could, because they wanted to get the fish. So this captain was feeding the fish so that everybody could see the sharks eat.
And these reef sharks are going to be about 3 meters in length. And did you see any sharks while you were scuba diving,
Phil?
I didn't see any. We were scuba diving in the lagoon, which is a very shallow and calm section. And so there weren't any sharks in there. We felt very safe, but there were a lot of nice fish, though.
Mm-hmm. If you go over by in Malaysia to Sipadan and those places and Dong Ma and those places, there'll be a lot of reef sharks. And if you go in there, they'll just kind of swim all around you in a circle and, you know, just like they're having a good time. You don't pay much. Those are just reef sharks, never mind. You know?
Well, I think what's interesting here is that Yvette and her husband, they tether themselves to the rock. And we also talked about they're using this reef hook to attach themselves. And the word tether means that you're attached. So they are now tied to the rock, but they're out in this current. And so they keep being pulled around by the current, but they can't go very far because they are attached to the rock by this safety line.
Well, they better hope that safety line holds, too, because that would be they might have to get off of those sharks if they're not careful. But then afterwards, they straightened out and they flowed up the pass and they looked like a river of sharks. Suddenly they were gone. That's looking like a river of sharks. The sharks were gone and they were still tethered to the rock. So what did they do then?
Well, it says, we held out our arms and drifted with the flow. So I almost picture them attached to this long rope, almost like an astronaut or a spaceman who is attached to a spaceship and they're out there floating in the current. With the flow. Bill earlier used the idiom to go with the flow. So they're really almost at the mercy of the current here.
And we see in line 14 that while they're going with the flow, they would have a current, they would have a gust, and they would flutter. And I had underlined flutter in line 14, Doris, just to help our listeners understand. Flutter might be a way we would describe the way a leaf falls off of a tree and the way that moves, or maybe a piece of paper in the wind. Really, no direction and no control.
When it says they were tethered or tied to this rock and then they held their arms out, do you think that they undid that when they went out with the current, or did they just keep, you know, hanging on there? What do you think?
Well, in looking at the next sentence, I would say that they're probably still attached because it says, mostly it was a steady blast in the face. So it sounds like they drifted with the flow for a while and then they got to the end of the rope and all of a sudden the water kept going, but they couldn't. And so it seemed like it was just a strong blast in the face that it kept pushing against them and pushing against them, but that they weren't moving.
And usually when we use the word tether, we mean that you remain connected with a piece of rope.
So they were hanging on there. But then later on they went to another place called the Rangiroa Atoll, part of this other Tuamotu Archipelago, and the sharks knew that they were coming. Now, I don't know if the sharks really knew it or not, but the minute this guy Randy got there with his tuna head to give them to eat, he was surrounded by these reef sharks. They circled, getting closer and closer, and they were within touching distance. And, you know, reef sharks really don't attack people, so you don't need to be afraid of them.
I had actually underlined that also, the term knew we were coming, and often Doors, people will say that, hey, they knew we were coming. As almost to say, well, somebody had a premonition or they knew ahead of time. My guess is that maybe Randy, the guide, has done this feeding many, many times and the sharks were used to him. They were used to him appearing at certain times of the day and they had come to expect this to be fed.
Well, besides that, they had a tuna head and they could have smelled that in the water. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's get on with our lesson because we do have something for you to listen to today. It's time for our listening skit.
Igor and Charlie, two sharks off the coast of French Polynesia in the South Pacific, were enjoying a quick snack when suddenly Igor notices something from afar.
Hey, Charlie, check out those divers over there.
Igor, you've lived around here long enough to know that this is a popular diving spot for humans.
Really? I've never understood why humans enjoy coming down here so much when they get to live on land with all the trees and ponies and whatever else is up there.
Igor, you don't even know what a pony is. But humans like to dive down here because of the atolls.
What's that?
It's where an underwater volcano protrudes from the surface. It makes a bowl shape, and when the tide passes over it, it forms a strong current that travels at 7 knots, or nearly 15 kilometers per hour.
Wow, I never noticed that. But how fast is 15 kilometers an hour?
I'm not sure. How long do you think a kilometer is?
I don't know. Hey, the humans are coming over here. Should we attack them?
Nah, they're basically harmless. Sometimes they even feed us fish.
Fish? That sounds good. Hey, you want to come out for some fast food later? How about sushi?
Nah, they're a little too fast for me. Maybe we can just get some plankton as an appetizer.
Hey, the humans are handing out fish. I wonder why they're not afraid of us.
Probably because we're only small sharks. If we were great whites, they'd probably be terrified.
Hey, yeah. Hey, what's that?
What?
Something's coming over here.
Oh, no. Could they be dolphins?
Could it be? Are dolphins, the great deep sea enemy of the shark, really swimming over to our two shark friends? Tune in tomorrow to find out.
Well, Ethan, I don't know if you've ever been scuba diving or not, but I don't know that the dolphins like the sharks that well, do they?
Well, I've seen some documentary shows, and it turns out that dolphins actually hate sharks, and they will actually try and fight them. So I was quite interested to learn about that.
Okay, well, we're going to have to tune in tomorrow to find out about that. Our time is up today, but the dolphins are going to start in tomorrow. So be sure and come here every day as we talk about this beautiful place in the South Pacific. And maybe you'd like to take a trip there sometime. Thanks for traveling with us today in our advanced class. See you tomorrow, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.